to develop a community or stakeholders advisory committee, as the new emergency center will be soon opening next year. As well as we had a discussion with Jennifer Bergenson, who is the CEO of the new private hospital, Granite Hills. And we had a conversation with her of how we can work together to engage the community about the new emergency center and Granite Hills, because again, with the emergency center, we're still going to be having a collaboration with the private hospital, because a lot of the patients may be transferred there via ambulance or transferred to the new private hospital. So we need to work in collaboration with one another, but then also too, how do we start the process of working with the private entities that will be running the emergency center on a day-to-day basis. Again, it's very important that we have the community engagement. And so I guess I'm going to put that out there for discussion. And we did have this conversation with Kate about what that process may be. Walter will be joining us at 1:30, but he had made a statement in regards to governance, and I don't know if Mary had a chance to look at the email. And I'm not quite sure what he was saying, because I know our community engagement committee, we have the we can engage the community and actually develop this community advisory committee. So not quite sure what that may look like. So again, that's why Kate is part of the discussion about how to develop this and how soon we should start the development of the community engagement committee. I know that Mary and I, we had talked in regards to community engagement versus stakeholder. My thought process when I say community, I'm thinking about those that utilize the service, family members, the community per se, and not providers. And so I think we need to have a discussion about, are we also bringing providers in on this stakeholder community advisory committee? So I think there are some things that we need to have a conversation about as we move to develop this committee.
When I think about a stakeholder advisory committee, I think it's more than just people that are using the services. I think it's broader than that. I think it's people that are using the services, and it's people in the community that surround the facility. I think it's
One second, Mary. Oh, just let me clarify. When I say, I'm saying the same thing. I think what I'm saying is that, do we bring providers into the committee?
I was getting to that.
Okay. But the community per se and the people around that, that's what I'm saying as well. Go ahead. Oh, your microphone.
Yes, I just mute myself. I'm saying providers, it could include providers of services from the community surrounding the vicinity of the facility. So you may want to bring in a provider from Progressive Community Health Center on 36th and Lisbon. So, you know, you don't want to make it top heavy. You want to just have a sampling of providers in the area, but you don't want it to be top heavy with providers. And I had created a list of people, you know, of who may be on there, but I think you need to have some providers.
Okay. Any other thoughts on because then we would have providers even around, then that would be up to Granite Hills to establish their own community advisory committee as well, right?
Well, yeah, Granite Hills would create their own community advisory committee, and they would provide representation to the community advisory committee of the emergency. Well, yes.
Okay.
So they would provide cross representation.
Right. Okay. All right. So with that being said, is anyone that's on the Zoom today, do you have any input into, because I think that's something that we need to clarify, as well as Kate, do you have any input into how we set this up?
Yeah, I can jump in just to say that it seems to me that you all can create as many layers as you would like. And so perhaps defining the purpose, scope, and objectives of the advisory group from the outset and then working your way back from that, you know, defining what is it that this group, what are they tasked with, what is their mission, what are their objectives, and then that can help to inform who should actually be a part of it. And then if you have to have separate groups, you know, as you're discussing, if Granite Hills has their own group, you know, that's for them to determine. But, you know, the broader vision for things, you know, what are the types of projects or activities or types of input that you would like to solicit from them? And so defining that and then figuring out, is it providers? Is it consumers? Is it a combination, a hybrid of, you know, you have this many seats for providers, this many for consumers, this many, you know, taking a look at the whole ecosystem of who's involved. And I don't know if in your previous discussions if that's starting to take shape already, but it seems to me that you could have even multiple groups or working groups. There could be a larger structure with working groups from it, but just kind of defining that end goal of what they're going to be tasked with, what will they be actually doing.
Is that something that we would have to talk with the governance committee about as we're developing? Because we just started talking about this, and maybe, I think, how many meetings have we had thus far? Six total?
This is our sixth meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot, Kate, that's really not on the table as of yet, but just trying to define what that process is and what that looks like. So you are absolutely right.
I think if you develop a vision for what it is that you want it to look like, and then bringing that forward, whether it goes to the governance committee next, you know, I would suggest not getting too bogged down into the process of how it's going to come together, and just starting with like a really clear vision and then aiming towards that, making that a reality, and figuring out the steps along the way, then will come more, it will become more clear.
Right. Okay. All right. And that is, because Walter, again, he's going to be joining us at 1:30, but that's something that he had put in an email that he sent in regards to how can we actively engage with understanding the governance process of both entities. So not quite sure what he was saying with that, and I'm hoping that he'll be able to join us to clarify. To clarify that, because I'm not quite sure in understanding. So again, that is an area that, and I'll be just quite transparent, that's an area that I am not that versed in, and that's why I'm looking to get advice from others that's versed with putting together and how we do this committee, this community advisory committee. I would like to move on it as quickly as possible, because the private hospital will be opening soon. I believe the end of this year. I'm not quite sure what that process is going to be. The emergency center is going to be opening next year. So how quickly do we want to, we don't want to move too quickly, but we don't want to be turtles about this as well, because we want the community to know what's happening in their neighborhood, what's happening with the county. So we want to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah, I based on what Kate was talking about in the previous conversations we had.
Go ahead.
We had talked about, for example, there would be a board member from the board of the joint venture that would be on the
committee
from both from the joint venture and from Grand Hills
on right.
The committee. So there would be representation, because there has to be a way to feed back to the board from the steering, from the committee. So that would be two people that would sit on there. And an example would be Mike and Kenneth. So I'm just using that as examples, potentially people that would be on there. So that would be the flow from the committee to the boards.
From our partners, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So, and then there would be somebody, yourself or whatever, from the committee to the board, to the mental health board, whoever that would be. And so you'd have to have those natural flows on there. And but as Kate said, to figure out what is going to be, I'm trying to remember the words that Kate used.
Her task, her vision.
Vision and the mission of the board. But I'm not sure about Walter's statement. Was that relative to this, or was that relative to the Granite Hills and the board? I think that wasn't regarding your thing. That
I'm
was
not regarding, sure.
No, that was regarding the Granite Hills board and the mental health board, and identifying the people from the mental health board that would be on the Granite Hills board.
Okay, all right.
I think that's what that was regarding.
Well, it would be nice to get it from Walter's mouth when he joins us. But okay, that is fine.
Yeah,
that's fine, because I wasn't quite sure. I didn't quite understand the email.
Yeah, I thought that's what that was in reference to.
So I think that, well, I think we have another comment. Montreal.
Good afternoon. I think when you take the holistic approach of the families that are being served, some of the dignitaries that make the decisions and the providers, it allows for everyone to know what are the best practices when engaging with this facility. With them having 120 beds, broken into five groups of 24, knowing, hey, this is a great facility we can bring someone for. We're doing some triaging. This is what happened on the county level. This is what happened on the provider level. Having those different stakeholders at the table is so important, because it only results in providing better services for the families that they serve. So I definitely think there is some mental math you guys have to do. If it's two of this group or five of this group, just keep into consideration the more people you have. And I've seen this model work very successfully with Apple Incorporated. I worked as the accessibility champion at Apple Incorporated for 5 years, working with communities living with autism or the blind or deaf. And when you think of the families that we serve, most of the feedback we got was from those families. In this case, it would be the Granite Hills patients. As a provider, it was so important to understand how they want to be served, what was the duration of the time frame, and how can there be a priority. 120 beds is not a lot. So when you think about what places I can go, what's the best practices, how can we interface our technology or share medical records and things of that nature, it's just important that everybody is at the table. That was a comment I wanted to make. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. So, Kate, and I'm going to chime you back in again, is that with the conversation that we have been having, so I'm really going to use you, Kate, in order for you to really help me understand what this process is like, because it's very important to me to establish this, but not having that has not been my forte in that area. So I am just looking for someone to advise.
I think that it would be helpful to maybe map out the different relationships and possibly even have a schematic that mm-hmm. would provide a visual, because talking about the different governing boards and the different institutions, it gets a little bit messy trying to figure out, okay, are we talking about this group or this group, and which one has this purpose, scope, and objectives, and who should populate the different groups. So I know for me personally, it would help to have a little bit of a visual to look at, and that could be something that I could help you with. Also, a lot of these relationships have already been brokered. The contracts are in place. So there are things that you don't have to take under your agenda as far as the contract with Granite Hills, that's already in place, and the governing structure for that is already what it is. So understanding maybe moving forward and kind of the holistic approach that, you know, was just discussed is, you know, further fleshing out your vision of what you want this group to be. Is it going to be governance? Is it performance metrics? Is it community outreach and communication? You're wanting to use it as a feedback mechanism, you know, talking with families and consumers? Is it a marketing tool? I mean, I think you can delineate the different strategies that you'd like to see this group embody and take up, and then figure out, you know, who the different players are that have to be at the table.
Right. And see, in my mindset, when I think about and say, this is because I am an advocate, so my mindset is that when I'm thinking about an advisory committee, I'm thinking about community that can go in and sit down with the powers that be and tell you as a community what we need and what we see is happening or not happening. Now, that's my mindset. Maybe that's not as robust. I'm not quite sure. That's why we're having this conversation about that is my mindset as an advocate. But we have other people that have different roles that they play as well. So this is where my mindset is at. And am I on the right road to that mindset? And so, again, that's why we're just kind of having this conversation about what does it mean? Because I want the community to be able to go in and, again, sit down with the powers to be that's running these entities and tell you what we need and what we see is not happening. That's kind of like, is that generic, or is that, I mean, or is that a good road to start, you know, developing?
I think that's a very powerful function of this group, in determining the scope of what those activities look like. That's something that, you know, there's a lot that can be done with that, having that mission and vision, what you just described. I guess I would, you know, put it back to the committee, to you as the chair. Is this something that you have buy-in from the rest of the committee and the board, you know, and that's where you could formulate this as a vision and then take it to the larger board to say, this is what we'd like to do with this community advisory group, or is it a stakeholder advisory group, or is it both, or is it, you know, the semantics of it get a little bit tricky too, but maybe having something in writing for people to respond to, mm-hmm. to get like a working concept going.
Absolutely. And so with that being said, we only have one other committee member that's on the that's here today. So I think Mary had already given her thought process. But again, Mary, this is my thought process when I think about an advisory committee. So do you have anything to add? I mean, we have to talk to the other committee members or anyone else that's on the Zoom today, their thought process as well. I'm trying to get as much information as possible.
I think it's really about, you know, as a stakeholder advisory group, it's about what is, you know, it's looking at services that are being provided and looking at, you know, looking at the nuts and bolts and are things being, are the services being met? What's being done well? What's not being done? Pointing out, you know, if there's any shortcomings, are things advocating, looking at, you know, the pathways and our services being offered as they said they were going to be offered.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
We're on the same path.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that, so when Kate, when you talked about the vision and define our purpose, I think we just did, didn't we? As far as the chair, but again, I need to get input from other community members as well. It may be kind of simplistic, but it's not at the same time.
But you have, you can remember that you get input from the other committee members, and unfortunately Rachel's not here and Shirley's not here, and well, when Pastor Lanier steps in, and you have the responsibility to set what the agenda is of the committee, and what the agenda of the stakeholder group is and what the mission is, and then structure it and build it from there, you know.
Okay.
This is what it's about. You get to build it.
All right. Well, I'm getting ready to build a bear.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Do we have any other thoughts as we move forward? I'm trying, again, just trying to get information from others to make sure that we're just kind of going in the right direction. All right. Anything else up for discussion before we move on to the next agenda?
So, Madam Chair, what will be the appropriate follow-up for this action or for this item?
I will develop what that structure is, and I will have that written up and work with Kate and Mary, if that's okay, on the vision and what the structure is going to be and what I see that it should be. And then... So do we take that to the board the next? No, we don't have to do that.
No, I think what you should do, Madam Chair and Committee Member Neubauer, is once you have that written up, you bring it back before this committee for, you know, further discussion. You have quite a few people that are not available for this discussion today. So once that is in writing, like Kate said, something to react to, you bring it back before the committee. You can, you know, edit it if necessary, make any revisions that's necessary, so then that you can kind of get a final document, because what you're going to be doing is pretty much drafting.
Okay.
So then you would then bring, so then, Madam Chair, Committee Member Neubauer, this item will be flagged for follow-up at the next community engagement committee meeting with a document in hand for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. Appreciate
just clarification
it.
So we know what we're doing.
Absolutely. Again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Right. Okay. So as Jody said, we will put this document together. We will look at the scope, or I will look at the scope. We will talk to the other committee members about it, and so we can move forward as we move into 2022. The next agenda item